Kristen Shelvin, and this is the Mostly Mom Podcast. While my days are filled with many roles and responsibilities, Mostly Mom is my favorite title. We all have a story to share about finding goodness and beauty in our ordinary, everyday lives. So I'm taking some time to sit down with a fellow mom to discuss the good and the hard, the joys and the sorrows, what we are facing in our current season of motherhood, and the lessons we have learned along the way. I hope you are challenged, encouraged, and inspired by these conversations. Well, Bobby, we'll get started.
Okay.
I'm so glad you're here. This is like a long time coming. You were on my list for season one, and it just didn't work out with our schedules.
Yes.
But you're here for season two, and I'm so excited to hear from you on specific things. I have so many, we have so many ways we could go with our conversation, but I think we should start where I've liked to start all these conversations, which is just having you share your story, whatever that means, whatever you want to share.
Thank you.
Your history.
Well, I grew up in Ennis, Montana, which is a lovely place to grow up. I was a public school child, and my parents were both working parents. I'm the oldest of my younger brother, who's just like a year and a half younger than I am, and we get along well and did all growing up. I came to college at MSU. I was very much a homebody, and that was so going too far for college was not my thing. I came home every weekend, but really loved being at college after some time. And I met my spouse at MSU, and I met my spouse unannounced to me and him at MSU, and we were just in the same campus Christian organization for 3 years, and then we always seemed to be dating somebody else, each one of us or something, and there was a time when we weren't, and so we connected and got married about a year and a half later. We did get pregnant before we were married, which was a big, I feel like a big crossroads in our life, and felt like the Lord was just saying, okay, you know, you're saying you follow me and you're saying you believe in me, but here we are. And so we like kind of choose which path you're going to go down. And it was really good for us. We were at church at the time, big congregation, lots of, couple services, and we got up in front of the congregation and confessed, and it was so healing for us, and people were so gracious and generous with their love for us, and it was really helpful to propel us forward in a good direction, and I'm so glad we did it. It was super hard, not the hardest thing I've ever done, but super hard, but really healing for us. And then we were having children right away, got married, had children right away. And we had a boy first and a girl second. And we were both in school, and we were like, oh, this is fun. You know, kids are awesome, and family is going really well. And we have a lot of good support, and that we'll have one more because he comes from a family of two also, oldest of two. And that we'll have one more. And so we had twins that time, and then the Lord just had placed some people in our lives and on mentoring us and such, and the Lord started working on our hearts, both of us, and just like saying, you know, just give this part of your life to me. I would love to help be in charge of this. And so we ended up with a baker's dozen children. And so, it has been a huge journey and an awesome one. And yeah, and so here we are. I have my oldest is 31 and my youngest is 12. So and one set of twins in there. I that's one question I have for the Lord when I get to see him someday, hopefully, is like, why was it number 3 and 4 and not like 10 and 11 when I had more people to help hold babies? But, you know, it was all good. So, yeah.
And along the way, you have homeschooled your 13 kiddos.
Oh, yeah. yes, so as the Lord was putting mentors in our life, I met some lovely ladies that were homeschooling their kiddos. And plus, I just held my firstborn going, there's no way I'm ever putting you on a bus ever.
No.
So, yeah, I just was in love with being a mom. And I can remember playing, you know, house and all of that. For like, I just really wanted to be a mom, but I had a working mom. And so, you know, college was the next reasonable step.
Yeah.
And so I did that and got my degree in business management. And but I was married and having babies, and so managing my own household has been used. But
something
yes,
big
yes, but yeah, the pay's not grand.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, the earthly pay's not grand. The eternal pay is grand.
And, yeah, the joy of just being able to be home and be with your kids.
Yeah, it's been so good and so transforming. So
And now you have a handful of grandchildren too.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. So we have 11 grandchildren. Yeah. And about half of our kids, not even quite half of our children, married. And, you know, parenting older children and younger children comes with a whole set of skills and something to definitely think about and plan for, which I didn't really give much thought about the dynamics of that. Some of those things you just don't know till you get there.
You just don't know.
You know, the Lord is just good with us along every step of the way, you know, making the space and all of that. But it's a managerial thing for sure. How to connect with them and
administrative and you're running a ship. That's what I always feel like managing a home is. It's like a ship. You've got all these people in the right places. And
now there are lifeboats floating out there along my ship, you know, and some going the same direction, some going veering off in little different directions. And it's really fun and exciting to see that happening, but also, you know, scary and like, you know, a lot to pray about. So,
So your spread of kids, let me repeat that back, from 12 to 31.
Yes.
And then 11 grandkids. So you are parenting still younger kids, 12 years old, is still a young kid.
Yep.
And then you have adult children and grandchildren. Like, how do you navigate that from having kids at home that you're still educating and training up, and then switching gears to cheerleading your adult kids, and how does that work for you to sort of parent all of those different things at the same time and be a grandma? Like, does your brain sort of make a cognitive switch when it's talking to certain people? Is it just a natural flow for you?
You know, I think that's a really interesting question, but I think, like, well, a number of my children, for one thing, are spread out across the country, across the world. Mm-hmm. And so that is a little harder to manage, I think, than just if they were where we would see them on a weekly basis. And only one of my grandchildren live here in the area currently also. And so that is more difficult. But so I have to travel to go see them if I want to go see them. And that's where the difficulty with, like, you know, still having children here in school and still needing my attention and my time comes in, although a 12-year-old is quite capable of so much, you know. And my husband does work from home, and so he helps, you know, in the interim time manage all of that as I go. And not very often, one sad thing, and I'm looking forward to days when it can be Eli and I both, my husband and I both, traveling more to see the grandchildren and stuff together. But for now, it's working out. So
you make it work.
Yes.
And you have some grandkids that have had some pretty big health issues that you've had to step in and help with. Like, that's another piece of life that gets complicated is whenever there's medical stuff that you've had to navigate.
Yes, for sure. Which also keeps you praying, because they're not out of the woods. Either of my two bigger medical things are not out. Grandchildren are not out of the woods, but they're doing well. And again, the Lord is so good to provide the margin and to provide the space when I'm needed. And also just to remember, like, I think of Queen Esther a lot of times in this, you know, like, if you don't step up and take this space, God will provide aid from another way. And I take comfort in that, in that, like, if I can't go, if my schedule is too full mm-hmm. here and I'm too much needed on the ground in Montana, it's okay if I can't make it to Wisconsin, you know,
right.
and somebody else will, you know, of course I want to be the one to help, but yeah. But it's good to know that he's got all of these things and holding them all and weaving them all together. So, yeah.
And when it is your turn to go or it's your turn to step in, he does this weird thing where he increases our capacity.
Yeah.
And when we're called up to do the thing, he'll
yes.
expand us.
Right.
And not forever, like
yeah. that, right.
we can't do it for long, but he does let us sort of move into that space when we need to, which
yeah.
is kind yeah. of him.
To yeah. It is kind of him.
Help
yeah.
us along the way.
Yeah. I think of that too, just with pregnancies and things, you know, just like mm-hmm. There were times when I would, you know, take that test and be like, oh my goodness, you know, are you sure, Lord, you know, and I'm just be a little overwhelmed at times, you know, and
yeah.
And I had somebody speak in my life saying, you know, he's going to give you grace for that next child as the next child comes, like, you're not going to receive that right now, but yeah. you will receive it, you know, and
yeah.
it just gave me so much peace to just go, yeah, you know, step by step, day by day, just walk those steps daily and consistently. And yeah,
it'll be there when you need it.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. So I really am grateful for that. Yeah.
What's been a deep joy
oh.
with motherhood in all yeah. these years and all the ages and
yeah.
stages that you have right now?
Yeah. Gosh, just probably just motherhood in general, just like second chances, I guess. You
yeah.
know, I can't imagine just having had two children and we've changed some things since our two, you know, first two.
Yeah.
And I joke with them. I'm like, I am going to save up for counseling for you. Don't worry. Like, you know, there's money available because you're going to need it. Dang. But just gathering my family too and just some of the choices we made along the way, not really knowing like the impact they would have mm-hmm. in the future, just like family table time. Like mm-hmm. we haven't done a whole lot of team sports either because I value dinner time and value gathering my kids around the table at night. Mm-hmm. So those have been, they've been hard along the way because I feel like I have a lot of really athletic children
yeah.
and they really would love to play sports. But I'm like, you know, there are all kinds of you know, other things you can do with that and go have fun at the Cove on afternoon or whatever, but
yeah,
protecting different things and setting up good habits like Bible time at our table each
yeah.
morning and those sorts of things that have served us so well.
Yeah.
And you start those things not really seeing the outcome of them, I guess, you know,
yeah.
we just are so grateful for that. So,
and then years down the road, it's like, oh, that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
We were doing what we knew we wanted to do and the right thing for us. But then you see the yeah. fruit of that
yeah.
a long time later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, with 13 kids, I imagine that you have had to change your mind on some things and pivot, and things that worked for a while maybe didn't work. Talk about how you were flexible and adaptable
yeah.
in the different seasons of
yeah.
motherhood.
Yes, I will. You know, we found out we were having a baby and read all the books and got in all the parenting classes and did all the Lamas and all the things, you know, and which was really good. And we met some amazing people along the way. And but we were so set with not much knowledge of how to actually parent a child. We were so set on this is the way it needs to be done, mm-hmm. you know, and that worked sort of for a few, you know, groups of children. But then,
yeah.
You know, just the I think the wisdom of motherhood, spending more time in the Torah and then the word, you know, just Proverbs and that sort of thing. And you know, some experience and all of that just gives you some more confidence and people doing things a different way and their kids are doing great, you know, too. And you're watching all of this happen. And we relaxed some things and we, you know, did some more. We were pretty schedule oriented to start out with, and just some more just natural like inclination. The baby's crying, go snuggle that baby, pick that baby up, you know, and bring it close, and some of those things. And just a hard dynamic of having the age spread that we had in homeschooling was that, like, for my older crew and middle crew, there was always a toddler or two to take care of, a toddler usually and a new baby. And so we're trying to school and, you know, trying to keep these guys contented over here. And so that was a challenge. And I just think it is just challenging. Yeah. I don't think there's a great solution for solving all that, but just more relaxing into that over the years. You know, and just, you know, the baby's crying. Everybody grab a book or go play outside for half an hour. I'm going to nurse and we're going to come back to this and it's all fine, you know?
Yeah.
Our days got long. Our school days got long, but, you know, it was just more peaceful as time went on and I gained more confidence and had more peace and direction from the Lord too. So,
And then your kids are probably learning the adaptability and flexibility of shifting when there's interruptions and people come first and
and some of them taking advantage of that too, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to do that math lesson today.
Somebody's napping. I don't have to practice my piano.
Yes, right. But all my children are very flexible, which is really nice. We run on the little spontaneous side. I'm more of a B personality than an A, and my husband also. And so we, you know, call us up and give us a half an hour to get somewhere. We're there, you know, or whatever. But which is kind of funny for a large family, but it just works.
But it works.
Yeah.
You find what works for you and your husband and your kids and shift into that.
Yeah. So
you talked just for a second about Torah.
Yes.
So your family practices a lot of the Jewish traditions. Talk about what that looks like for your family.
Yeah. So as I said, my husband and I were in the same Christian organization together on campus, and my husband is Jewish by heritage. His mom is Jewish from both her parents' sides, and so he knew that, and we had a rabbi come to our congregation doing a singing concert, and Eli just went up to him afterward and said, "Hey, I'm Jewish," and he handed us a Bible study and said, "Oh, you should check out the roots of your faith." And so we were young marrieds, like maybe a year and a half into marriage, and had this other couple that was, you know, they had a new baby also, and we're kind of living life together. We spent quite a bit of time with them, and they were curious, and we started studying, and it led us to, you know, just some of the roots of our Christian faith all the roots of our Christian faith are Jewish. And so it led us to some interesting, you know, and enlightening ways to live our life out. And so we began celebrating the Sabbath and keeping it on. We started out keeping it on Sunday, and then we moved to Friday night to Saturday night, which is its intention, you know, and all the holidays and stuff. And I just, it's been a delight, like, as we've raised our crew. Mm-hmm. There's so many, you know, so many senses used with each of the holidays. Yes. There are special foods that go with each holiday. There are special things you create or erect. There are special sounds you hear at different times. And so teaching our children along that way and teaching them the Bible you know, the Torah in particular at that time, it was so great. I mean, it's just so hands-on so real and alive. And I guess that's one thing I really still enjoy about it is it's not just, you know, I'm not just getting together one or two times a week with my believing friends. It's mm-hmm. it's my lifestyle. It's mm-hmm. changed really the way we live, the way we run our household, and mm-hmm. And so it's really real to my children, you know, and to ourselves as well. And so
it's not compartmentalized.
No,
it's part of your rhythms.
Yeah, it is our
daily
rhythms. Yeah. And so it's been beautiful that way. Yeah.
And the way that we got to know each other is through the Musar table,
yes.
your Musar group that you host.
Yes.
Share for listeners who have no idea what Musar is. How would you describe that?
Yeah. Well, it is it's an ancient way of studying, and it's based on character, just developing your character to bring glory to Hashem or bring glory to God. It is like a unique curriculum for each individual. And so it's something you can study by yourself, or it's something you can have one partner with and study back and forth with, or mm-hmm. Like our table is a group of beautiful ladies that are studying together. And we just, you just focus on one character quality a week as a group or as a person. And there are some practices, like some meditation, some journaling, some homework practices mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, you know, but that we all do each week to just focus on this one character quality. This week we're happy, it happens to be truth for us. And so we just focus on truth this week, and next week we move to a new quality and focus on that for a week. And you realize over weeks and weeks of doing this how at all you're still, even though you moved from truth to compassion, to patience, to, you know, silence, whatever the quality is, you're still really working on it all, and they're all mingled together. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say how great we are or any of that. It's just a refining process. It's just you know, bringing more glory to the Lord through being able to hold back when we need to hold back, speak forth when we need to speak forth, and how to graciously do that, and realizing that each soul on this planet is a holy soul. Every single person has a piece of the Lord in them. Yeah. And we all have something to learn from each other. And it's given me a lot of freedom, honestly, in raising my crew mm-hmm. Over the last couple of years. Just in the fact that we're all on a journey. We're all, he's doing something with all of us.
Yes.
And that takes so much weight off of motherhood to just say, ah, I see you're on a path, you know, and I hope mm-hmm. God's working it out in you, and hopefully you're listening, you know, and even when we're not, even, you know, we all make wrong choices sometimes, and we all sin, and we all do that, but he has a way of bringing us back, and we don't see that as human beings. We don't see that he's always bringing somebody back, but he is always calling out to them to bring them back. So, yeah.
What I've loved about the Musar study as well is just that one curriculum, one trait, so truth, for example, the way that you might approach the study for the week could be very different than the way I approach it. And one person might have a call to maybe quiet their voice. Maybe they've been talking too much about something, or their call is to quiet themselves, and someone else might be called to speak the truth more boldly. And so what I love is it's so spirit-filled and spirit-led, and we're really helping each other dig into our own work that we need to do with the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, which goes back to the kit thing.
Yeah, and providing perspective.
Yeah.
Because you might be living with somebody like somebody else at the table, which is not how you deal with truth, mm-hmm. you know. And so I think the perspective, I highly recommend if you study Musar to do it in a group, because the perspective I gain from everybody else's way of maneuvering is just grand. It's a delight and such a joy. So, yeah.
So from your perspective then too, talk for just a minute about the benefit of someone who, again, we've said some of this already, but for someone who comes from a Christian tradition that doesn't have a Jewish background, the value of the Musar for them.
Yes. So, you know, James talks about faith and works working together, you know, and so the value of believing is great, and saying you believe, you can say you believe all day long, though, and it's really in our behavior and really in our character and really in our, in what we flesh out in our works and how we talk to each other and how we receive each other. And so every human being, if you think you're religious or not religious, I think could benefit from Musar practice, just in that it just gives you a lot of tools in your toolbox that you may not have even thought of having before. And one other dynamic that I've loved is that, like, truth and can have you're working for balancing points in all the character qualities. And like you spoke, Kristen, your balance might be very, your point might be very different from my point, you know. So it's a real introspective and it also brings, like, you know, there are, you can have too much truth and, or speak maybe too much truth, and you can not speak enough truth. You know, there are endpoints too that are out of whack. And so to see where you fall on that line is very enlightening. Like, it's just good to be able to, like, you know, you want to be able to look yourself in the mirror at the end of the day and take a good evaluation of your day, good, bad, or ugly, and, you know, make plan moving forward. And I think it's just a really great practice for doing that. And good deeds are a good thing for this world. If we all did a little more good deeds, you know, and worked out good character in each one of us, gosh, you know, we could make amazing changes in this life.
I always tell my kids, if everybody would do the things that they know are the right thing to do, so many issues would be solved. Or would not be as big of an issue as they are. If you know the right thing to do, just do it. I think it's interesting too that Ben Franklin had a similar practice. But that was fascinating to learn
too,
that he had his little grid of 13 weeks. Right? The idea is you do 13 things and then you start back over again. And by the time you've gotten through a year, you've worked for 4 weeks on one trait. And I love how it connects too with exercises and practices like the prayer of examine from the more contemplative world of Christianity, where you're sitting at the end of the day examining yourself before God, and how so many of these ancient practices really do connect with each other.
I love it.
Let's see. We could go a lot of different places. I have so many questions I want to ask. Can we talk about menopause? Can
please.
We do that? Can we go there?
I want to hear what other people have to say, though.
I feel like there's been a lot, you know, I don't know, there's been a lot in the being spoken about it, and I feel like we don't really have anybody to ask questions to other than our friends and our doctors.
So,
like, what is, I don't know, even know where to, I don't even know a question to ask.
Well, I have some things to know. I don't know that I know what I need to know, but I'm on this journey too. And I just say, older ladies, come out of the woodwork and have table discussions with us all. We need it. Oh my gosh. We do so need it. But there are great books being written, and I'm really grateful for that. I think, like, you know, I don't know. It just, like, you know, sometimes Christianity has lost the Jewish roots of their faith or touch with that. I also think, like, as ladies, we've lost some of the touch with our cycles and our rhythms, and just and, you know, just, you know, learning to embrace each phase of your cycle and know when your great weeks are and when you should tackle the big things and know when you're just going to need to stay home pretty much and just rest and all of that, and how to eat and exercise during all of those different phases. I think, you know, there's something to be learned there for sure. So yes, I'm definitely on a research journey, and yeah, finding some good answers and good help. So yeah, one of the greatest books I've read recently on the topic is Fast Like a Girl, and I highly recommend it. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, even to be sharing with our younger ladies in our homes, you know, just how to connect back to your cycle and the rhythm of a woman. So embrace that, you know, it brings a whole lot of understanding to the way we work out our months, and you know.
So know your cycle, do some research.
Yes.
Gather your girlfriend.
Yes, right.
Talk through it all.
Yes, and older ladies, please help us.
Yeah, tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Kind of along with that too, you have these in-laws, you have sons-in-law, daughters-in-law. Yeah. What has that journey been like for you, growing your family with the addition of those kiddos, and any advice on that for the rest of us?
Yeah. Well, one kind of hopefully encouraging piece of advice I have is, as you're growing a family, you have lots of skills as a family, and each individual comes with a whole set of strengths and weaknesses, and then your people begin meeting these other people, and they bring in a whole new set of skills and stuff too, which is just fantastic. I love it. Yeah, that way. And you know, I have had kids. I do have children who are having hard marriages and who are going through, you know, going through the thick of it and stuff. And so, you know, there's sorrow and joy all mixed up in the bag when you're raising kids and crews and things. And how to hold that is something that I'm learning to do, how to hold all the joys and all the sorrows and be there for all the, you know, be in the right frame of mind for all the needs and stuff is a lot.
Yeah.
But I have enjoyed bringing on, you know, new people into our family, and I feel like I'm still getting to know a lot of them, and you know, it's and like I said, you know, lots of them live kind of far away, and that's harder. I mean, it's hard to just keep up with my own son or daughter, let alone their, you know, their special other, and so so. And it's fun to see their households and how the, like, you know, the merging of, I think marriage is so amazing. Like, you know, it's amazing any of us make it, honestly, just because you come from growing up in different households doing different things, and sometimes from different parts of the country. This is a big country, you know, we live in. And and bringing those two together in one roof and helping, you know, helping start family traditions. It's fun to see, you know, what they valued from your home and what shines that way. And
the things they want to keep and the things they might leave behind.
It's fun and can be sorrowful too, you know, sometimes. But works in progress. And just good.
Like
just like us. Yeah. Amen.
If you're a young mom caught up in diapers, dinners, and the daily grind, it's easy to forget that your soul needs care too. If you're an older mom who has raised a family and built a life, perhaps it's time to invest in yourself. Maybe you're new to the Bible, or maybe you're coming back to it after years away. Perhaps you're just ready to learn. Yellowstone Theological Institute believes that moms are leaders at home, at church, at work, and in the world. Programs at YTI are accessible to students from diverse backgrounds as they explore their faith through hands-on classroom learning, community involvement, and mentorship. Sit with trusted biblical scholars and mentors who value the weight and wonder of motherhood, and learn the foundations of Christian theology in a warm, welcoming environment. Multiple academic programs are available. The Diploma of Christian Theology program arms students with a thorough foundation and includes 30 hours of classes. You can audit theological classes designed to encourage your heart, deepen your faith, and equip you to lead without the pressure of grades or papers. You can also pursue a Master of Arts or Master of Divinity degree, or one of several new certificate programs. Whether you're looking for spiritual formation, leadership development, or education, there's a seat waiting for you. You can explore current class offerings for the 2026 winter term at yellowstonetheology.org. Registration opens November 3rd and classes begin January 12th. YTI also has a special gift for you. Visit ythi.org/moms to receive a small journal just for you, our Mostly Mom podcast listeners. That's ythi.org/moms.
While you were in the middle of the homeschooling and the babies and the high schoolers and those really busy years, what did taking care of yourself look like?
Well, I will say, honestly, for the longest time, I was like, self-care, I don't even know what that means, and I have no time for it. Right. It was hard to keep friendships, honestly. You know, I mean, we were thankfully in a community at the time that had lots of young moms, and so I would see them when we gathered, you know, but... Boy, it was a challenge. And so I don't feel like I did great with self-care for a lot of years, you know, other than, I guess, now as I look back at it and define what I think self-care is, you know, I did have those people I would call and talk with on the phone, or, you know, we'd meet up for park dates or whatever, or you know, I also just think just hunkering in as a family, I like being home with my kids. And so gathering, you know, and like I said, dinner times are special for us. And and our morning, another routine we have held to all these years is just a morning Bible time around the table before we start our school day. Yep. And so glad we still do that, you know, and it's one of my favorite parts of our day. So did I answer the question?
Totally.
Okay, good.
Well, and it looks great. That's what I think what I love about the self-care question too, because first of all, define self-care. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I always joke like it kind of is just flossing your teeth and putting yourself to bed on time sometimes.
Yes.
You know, some seasons
it's
you do what you can, and you've got to trust that the rest will take care of itself. And then there's some seasons where you have to take a little more care.
Yeah, right.
And
I
think the Lord is faithful in all that.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, so true.
Seasons that are busy.
Good cup of coffee, a strong chocolate, just to sit on the porch, or, you know, it could even be like just connecting with one of the children, or, Oh, that's something else I did have on my heart and mind to speak of is just, you know, raising a large crew to just... There wasn't a lot of time to do, you know, date everybody, you know, so to speak, and take them out on some special outing or whatever. I mean, I tend to do that a lot more now that we're at the end of the crew, because I do feel that it's valuable that each child gets their space and gets heard and seen and loved and, you know, talked about and focused on, you know.
Yeah.
But we, and even Eli and I too, we weren't big, like, you know, every week we're going on a date type people, but we would grab times in our house. Like I would always, if I'm going down to fold a load of laundry, somebody's with me and we're talking, or, you know, just really thinking about just like in my home, how can I just focus on a kiddo for, you know, 5-10 minutes even. Yeah. And we had this little, we would split forces. Our house is such that Eli and I sleep on the main floor. Boys were upstairs and girls were downstairs. And so we would split forces at night, and I'd go either upstairs and tuck the boys in, and he'd go down and swap every other night. And we had this little statue that we would pass around to the boys' bed. And we had a little back rubbing routine, or, you know, whoever had the little statue that night got that little extra time with mom or dad, you know, as we tucked them in at night. And so, you know, there are just lots of things like you didn't think you would have to navigate, but you do. Like, I can't spend 3 hours tucking you guys in bed. I'm exhausted and have, you know, it already takes about two from start to finish, you know. So it was just kind of a sweet sweet little way, and they all just still remember, you know, like, oh, you got to pick a shake, you got to have a shake or a paddy whack or, you know, cute. Cute little things. But yeah, it's those little traditions that you just, yep. that you just start out and you hold to that, like, they tend to remember and appreciate. And and they do provide special time for the kid, you know, too. Which I think is important.
And it feels like we put this pressure on ourselves as moms, and I guess maybe not everybody, but I know that I do, to make the big things.
Like, yeah.
Let's do this thing big. And those are great when you can do them, but life is just a series of ordinary moments, and to make those special when you have them. Like before we started recording, talking about just random little moments where one kid might be home and you have this goofy little conversation with them, and to just accept those, you know, like the interruptions in your day when they're that one person's in front of you and you have a few minutes with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
To take hold of that.
Yeah. And to delight in that too. Yeah. Like, you know, you might think it's an interruption at first, but then it just gets so funny and wacky and you're like, I'm so glad you came and interrupted my bath time or whatever, or my book reading. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Is there something that you've thought of, Bobby, or dreamt of doing for a long time?
Yeah.
What is it?
I've always wanted to have an Airbnb or not an Airbnb, I'm sorry, a bed and breakfast.
Oh,
yeah.
Fun.
I've always wanted to run a bed and breakfast. Yeah. In fact, my college college final project was doing all the bookkeeping and all the everything for a bed and breakfast. And So I don't know why I laugh. Sometimes I'm like, I did. I just didn't get paid.
I think you are doing a bed and breakfast.
Yes. But I still think that would be really fun. And maybe someday we're going to be left with quite a big house at the end of all of this. So who knows?
Oh, that would be so fun.
It would be fun. Yeah. I don't know if that will ever pan out, but I also just really love baking. And so I've thought of a bakery 100 times over and, you know, different things. You have done an on the porch bakery for
a
while.
Yeah, you and I need to talk about this after.
Yes. Yeah. So and all of my daughters, like several of them, have done little baking businesses out of their house and stuff, you know, too. And so, so maybe in times to come, it will work out. So,
Well, kind of along with that, I guess there's another question I like to ask. Is there a skill or a talent that you've always wanted to master?
I would say it's somewhere in the baking realm. Like, there are a couple French bakeries here in Bozeman that I just love. And I'm like, I have got to figure out how to do that.
Yes.
So, I think that would be really fun sometimes. I have a daughter at home right now. She's 22 and she runs an at-home bakery. She does farmer's market in the summer and then just has a little at-home bakery. And Eli is always like, you should go to France and just go to school for a couple weeks or whatever. And I'm like, that's becoming maybe more of a realistic thought, you know, as my youngers get older and that sort of thing. So, you know, maybe I'll do that. I don't know. That would be so fun. Yeah. So
I made real croissants one time.
Did you?
And is it a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All the steps and the folding and the.
Yeah. Yeah. The butter. All the butter has to get worked in for that flaky crust.
They were delicious. But that's a lot of hours in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
Yeah, so it would
I'm excited
be
to see if that pans
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
In the season that you're in right now, Bobby, what is your biggest challenge?
Yes. Probably what I spoke earlier, holding the joys that this summer has just shown me a lot. Like we've had some really great joys, some amazing joys. And then we've had some big sorrows too. And it's a lot to hold all of that. And I just go back to Musar has helped me to we're just human beings and we're just doing the best we can.
Yep.
Conversation by conversation. Happiness by happiness, disappointment by disappointment, you know, and we're just doing the best we can and we're one person and, you know, so it's allowed me to just slow down a bit and not feel like hectic in my head even, just to say, you know, I'm not the only one working on this either. And remind myself the trust part of it. God's got this, and I can totally and completely trust Him. Yeah. He does know the good and right way to handle all of this, and I'll speak what I need to speak, and or be quiet when I need to be quiet is probably more like it. But
yeah.
So I think that's my biggest challenge at the moment. And how to love on all the people. Like, I'm not great at faraway birthdays, you know, and just you just making that happen for all the kids and grandkids and, you know, all of that. And my mom's amazing at that. She didn't have far away, but she lived in Ennis and we live here in Bozeman area, you know. So she was just so great at the kids and their birthdays and all of that, you know. And I feel like I haven't aspired to that yet, or I do aspire to it. I haven't lived that out quite yet like I want to, and how to make that happen from afar, I'm not really sure.
I know, it's tricky.
It is tricky.
When you, and my sister-in-law was in town for just a quick minute yesterday. We were talking about this, how we had there was a relative that passed away recently, and there was a handful of these aunts that would always send birthday cards and always sent a sweet little note. And she and I were like, we want to be like that, but it's just hard right now because of the season we're in with our kids.
Yeah.
And so we're like looking at each other. Well, someday.
Yes.
Give us 5 years or 10 years and we'll be really fun aunts that will, you know, take you out for lunch for your birthday or send you the cards. And we'll be, you know, again, there's seasons for there's seasons for all that.
There is, it's a good thing to remember, just because you're not good now doesn't mean you can't be in the future.
There might be more space to do a lot of that later.
Good encouragement.
What is some great advice that you've picked up along the way that we should all consider, and maybe what's some bad advice that you've been given that like, don't do that?
I'm going to start with the bad advice, actually. I don't know. Just both my husband and I were raised, you know, just in secular homes and working parents. And there were two children on each side. And our life, we pioneered a lot of our marriage, just like pioneered having a lot of children when we came from just younger brothers. Each of us were both firstborns, too, which adds an interesting dynamic.
But you're firstborn type B.
Yeah, well, I'm a type B. Well, yes, him too. Yes, right. Yeah, which is interesting. Yeah. And so I guess navigating, pioneering life. Can you remind me of the question again?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What's some good advice?
Yeah.
What's some bad advice?
Yeah. And just as you're having lots of kids and you're doing the thing and you're, I was pregnant a lot, you know, we'd have a 16-month-old and everybody would be like, oh, I bet she's going to announce that she's having another baby, you know, and the reactions you get from people are just funny and awkward. And so I don't know. I just think, like, as you see, I believe in family so strongly, and I think we need a lot more great families in this world. And those mamas that are pregnant and having children, hoorah, go for it. And or those that want to have children, you know, I'm just, I'm so for that. And and so all that other stuff, just, you know, let it bounce off of you and not let it weigh heavy on you. And
all the comments.
All the comments and all the silly things. And the good advice. I had some mentors in my early marriage that were just amazing, and I'm so grateful. And some of them really, like, are mentors from afar. Like, I just met them a time or two, but I, you know, because of their large family or their homeschool life, I kind of watched them from afar. But so I don't even know. Well, I know they know now, but, you know, I don't know that they knew along the way that I was really watching them. But just the family unit is so great and so amazing. And to cherish the children that God gives you, to cherish the home, to make the home a place of peace and protection as much as possible. I know that's not always possible, but, you know, just to also just to work, each of us work on our own selves. Like, we, you know, I think I held a lot of responsibility for my children and even my spouse and all of that, you know, along life's journey. And I'm realizing now, you know, it's only me that I need to be responsible for truly, that I can only do what I can do with myself. You know, I've got to work on me, and that can change everything in the family and in my marriage and in my relationship with my children. It really can, but I can't change them, and I don't have to take responsibility for the way they react to things. I mean, it's a huge burden off, honestly. Yeah. Like, you know, just as life gets struggly, you know, life is messy, and it doesn't always pan out the way you think. Rarely, I would say, does it pan out the way you hope it would or the way you think it should.
Yep.
And yet there's always hidden blessings in there too. And just to really have a lot of gratitude along life's path, I think would be another big thing. Just, you know, there are so many things to be thankful for. And I think the Musar has taught us that, I think, just like gratitude every day, just gratitude in every situation, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. There are things to be grateful for. And
have your eyes open for the good that's there.
Even the good that already exists. Yes, even when it's hard. Yeah. Yeah, it's so good.
That's a good practice.
Yeah, it is. Hard one, but a good one. It's as easy and difficult as that. Simple and difficult. Yeah.
Bobby, what's one thing that you wish you could have done differently?
Yes.
There doesn't have to be something.
Yeah, but... no. I'm like, which one do I pick? Not like I don't have anything. being firstborns, both of us, we had some fiery times in our marriage to start out with, and it kind of came to an ugly head. Like, we got in one really kind of big fight, and it was pretty ugly, and we said things that were not nice to each other, and it was in front of our children, and it was just not a good scene. And I just remember that being another pivotal point in my life where, okay, this can't happen again. And I'm grateful, I guess, that the Lord brought us both to that point at that time, and we both realized that this can't happen again, and it really hasn't ever happened again. We both looked at each other and said, no more of this. This can't go on like this, you know, and so I'm really grateful that we pivoted and made some changes and that we've held to that, and we both learned a lot along that way. And I wish I didn't have to have that had happened in front of our children or with each other even, you know, just those ugly things you speak are so, that sticks and stones thing. I don't know that I believe that, you know.
Yes. I don't believe that either.
Yes.
What's something you wish you could have known earlier on?
Oh, I tell young moms all the time, get organized, have organizational ideas and setups and binders and whatever you're going to do. Because once those babies start coming, oh my gosh, like there's no time to do the meal planning and the you know, how do we keep track of doctor's visits and, you know, just all of that sort of thing and schooling and I just wish I would have been, I wish I would have had a better plan going into it instead of having to really struggle to keep up and make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have some great organizational things on your site, right?
Yeah. Yes. Hopefully they're helpful.
Yes.
But it's funny too, because I remember, I can like vividly remember evenings at night before I had kids, organizing recipe binders, you know, like they're all categorized and in their sleeves. And I haven't touched that for probably 16 years. I still pull the same binder out. It's probably got some recipes from 16 years ago. And I still, you know, have a stack of recipes that thick that need to go in a binder. I'm like, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Again.
Like, there's no time for that right
again,
now.
Again, right.
No.
Hopefully in the future, but maybe not. I don't know.
That's good advice. Yeah. Get organized early.
Yeah.
What's something that has surprised you about being a mom?
oh, I think like the overwhelming love you have yes. for another human being. Like, I remember calling my mom after having a baby for a little bit, just saying, "Ah, I didn't realize when you said you loved me, like you loved me." You know, like, yeah, I just, that was so overwhelming for me and yep. amazing. Yeah. And on the other side of that, too, so you're loving this human so much, you know, and then, you know, as they grow and get their own brain and do their own thing and, you know, make some choices that you don't love.
Yeah.
That's also so hard.
It can, like, break your heart just
oh, it
as
can, it
easily
can. Yes,
and
yes.
deeply.
Yeah, it can, you know, and just how to love them as a human being through all of that, too, you know, and just not take it personally and all of those things. Yeah.
Yep. What is steadying you and grounding you in your current season?
I would say probably Musar the most, actually, really. The practices we're implementing in that study are fantastic. I wish I would have known that actually earlier on in life too.
Me
you
too.
Know, oh my goodness.
Like, where
yeah.
has this been?
I know, right?
How did I not know about this
I know.
Earlier?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's just expanded, like I said earlier, my toolbox so yep. much, you know, like I just feel like, I feel excited, like, oh, I know how I can deal with this. I have the tools to do it. Whether I'll do it or not is,
right.
whether I'll choose that or not is a different thing. But yeah. That has been grounding for me. And of course, that all is wrapped up in the Word and your relationship with my relationship with the Lord. And yeah, and realizing too, back to another point I made earlier, just that I can only work on me. That's
right.
Yeah, that's just been so helpful. Yeah, just like let that other stuff go. It's not my side of the street, it's not my doorstep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not on my paper.
It feels like my doorstep though, you know, when it's your kid
when
or your.
You.
Your family or whatever, you know, you're like, oh, kind of is. We live in the same building anyway, you know,
yep.
and so, yeah, but just to give them, let them handle it, you know, it's not, it doesn't have to be your ball.
Give
you
them
have
to some
juggle.
Space
yeah,
to
yeah.
be human and work it out.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really good for them, you know, too. That's what I'm seeing, too. It's good for all of us to take responsibility for us.
Yep.
Only, you know, so. Yeah.
Hard.
Oh, so hard.
So much
yeah.
easier to just tell everybody what
yes.
to do.
Which is so good when they're little, right? Go to your room. Like, darn it, but when they get big. And,
let me tell you what you should do right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Bobby, I'm looking at our time
yes.
and I want to make sure we stick to that, but I'd love to have a rapid fire.
Fun.
You ready
yeah.
for that?
Yes, yes.
So none of us on this podcast are good at following this rule, myself included, but the goal of the rapid fire is to answer in a sentence
yeah.
or so, like
okay.
a minute or less.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
What are you reading right now?
I'm in 3 book clubs right now, which is overwhelming.
Whoa,
yeah, too many. I'm reading Everyday Holiness for our Musar table and some outside sources for that. I'm reading Fast Like a Girl, which I mentioned earlier yeah. for hormonal help and menopausal help and all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm reading a book called The Empowered Wife with one of my daughters and one of my daughters-in-law. And I am reading Lord of the Flies, which... Yeah, it's just something I was like, oh, I need a novel.
Yeah.
And yes, so there.
What's the first thing you do in the morning?
I like to get up and have a cup of coffee and go sit on my front porch and pray.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Yeah. And it doesn't happen every morning, but it happens a few mornings a week. So yay. And if it's not happening, then I just get everybody up and we're late for something and we're making breakfast and doing that. So yeah. Yeah. yeah.
That's yeah. a good way to start
yeah.
the day.
Yeah.
What's the last thing you do at night?
Last thing I do at night is I read a book and tell my husband goodnight. Yeah. yeah.
What is saving the day right now? A life hack, a habit, or a ritual?
you know, school's just starting and I feel like my schedule is so morphing. I don't know what's saving the day yet. Sorry.
That's okay. That's fair.
Sure. I'm trying to find that thing to save the day.
You need something to save the day right now.
Yes.
What is something that people get wrong about you?
Oh, I think that I'm super organized. I'm not super organized. Fit, like I mentioned earlier, it's been a challenge for me. I'm working on it and I have some systems in place that work really well, but yeah, they might get that wrong.
You're overwhelmed, caught in a moment of anxiety or stress. What's the first thing you do? Yeah.
Well, because of Musar, honestly, it's to just take some deep breaths and focus in, kind of do a little meditation practice. And I don't mean that in any sort of weird way, just to focus in. And it's just, I have found that practice so helpful in helping me know what to do, what my next step is. Like, it just helps unjumble my brain and put it in order.
Like,
and
lengthen that pause, lengthen that space between the thing that happened and what you're going to do next. What's your favorite time of day?
Dinner time, probably. Gathering my family around food.
Yep.
Yes, I like feeding people and I like gathering my family. So
Can you all fit around the table?
We do. Yeah, we have an amazing Amish table that goes out to like 21 people or four. And so it's awesome. I love that table.
What are three things you're grateful for right now?
I'm grateful for fall and the change of seasons, cool nights. I love that. And new schedules, too. I'm really ready. I always crave a schedule at the end of summer. And I'm grateful for just gathering friends and family. We have some high holy days coming up here shortly, and I'm just grateful for the anticipation of gathering for those times. And I'm grateful for just beauty, like outside beauty, nature. We just got back from camping and up in the mountains and just grateful that we live in a place where you can travel a couple hours and be in the mountains. And so grateful for that. So,
Describe an ordinary everyday moment that brings you joy.
My morning ritual of coffee. I love being the first one in the kitchen. Well, I'm not always the first one, but my husband's up earlier than me usually and up out of the house. And then I just get to go turn my coffee machine on and make my coffee and go. Like I said, I love to go sit outside on my front porch swing and just have time to pray.
It's a good way to start the day.
It is a good way. Those are my best days. For sure.
Bobby, is there anything else? Is there anything we forgot to talk about? Any last words?
I just want to reiterate, I think families are wonderful and beautiful. I think everybody's family is, no matter how good, bad, or ugly it is again. And I just think, you know, we're all work in progress and keep our focus where it needs to be and keep marching forward day by day. Yeah, and do the good and right things. More good in this world is a good thing. It's good for all of us. So, and that we're each holy souls with a mission. And we have something to connect with every other human being on this planet.
Yeah.
It's been eye-opening for me. So,
That's a good word to land on. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
A huge thank you to my guests for taking time out of their busy lives to sit for a conversation with me. It's a delight, joy, and privilege to have you join me. The Mostly Mom Podcast is a production from Ordinary Everyday Studio. Find us on Instagram and online at ordinaryeveryday.studio. Audio and editing by Logan Tomorrow. Thank you for listening.